And you will, if you've been here in recent weeks, know that we have dropped into the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and you will recognize that to be the chapter containing the heroes of the faith, men and women that God has held up as colossal examples to us of what it is to have faith in Him, and they have, in their life and by their actions, they have dovetailed with these words that we have on screen right now, Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But please Him they did, and God worked mightily in their experience as a result of that. Now we're looking at Rahab tonight. We've read about her in the historical record we have in Joshua chapter 2. And then we have her mentioned also among the Hall of Fame or Faith in Hebrews 11, the verse 31, where we read, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." I think of one thing should be said about all of those men and women who were listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It has to be this: they were far from perfect. When you begin to look below the surface in their lives, you will find failure. You will find inconsistency as well. But still, their names are recorded here because and on account of their faith. We cannot say that our sins and our follies are swept under the carpet by God, because they never are. They grieve Him. They're always displeasing to Him. He never excuses and He never condones our sin, but He does have a way. And He has devised a way, in the language of David, whereby His banished ones are not fully and finally cut off. And so there's that way that God has made that allows sinful, failing men and women like ourselves to find deliverance from the power, from the penalty of sin, and gives us an example to follow, an energy by which to follow in the path of righteousness after our conversion to Christ. We could think of the number of names here that we have. We have got men, for example, like Abraham. We have people as well like Enoch, Noah, also mentioned Isaac. And we don't have to travel too far to find failure in his son, Jacob the Twister, but he also makes it into the Hall of Fame stroke faith because they believed in God. And I don't think that we sort of curl up our toes or raise an eyebrow at all whenever we find these names, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, etc., mentioned in the Hall of Faith, but we might raise an eyebrow with the mention here of the name Rahab. How did she get in? How did she merit a mention in the midst of these people in Hebrews 11 and the verse 31? Can we have these words really recorded regarding her? By faith the harlot Rahab, because she received the spies in peace, her life was saved, and that of her household, from the house of shame. She gets into the Hall of Fame. I want you to look up in the Word of God, Colossians 1 and the verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 13, and in the context of what we're saying here about Rahab, we have a very pertinent comment in Colossians 1 and 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." And by this very transformation and translation, as Paul describes it here, we have God, and He takes a person out of the land of Canaan, and He puts her in the line of Christ. And she's not just an ordinary person, because in the estimate of so many people, She's gone down quite a few rungs on the ladder of pollution. We have a prostitute here who was taken by the grace and the hand of God and put into the very line of Christ. And we find that when we compare it with Matthew chapter 1. How did it happen? Well, she went forward to Christ on the basis of the old prophet's words in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, how that are sinned, though red like scarlet, can be white as snow, though it may be red like crimson, it can be as wool. And in Rahab, we have John 3 and 16 illustrated. We can put her name in there, and she's a prime illustration of what it is for God to cause people not to perish because they believe, by faith Rahab, they believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Tonight we're going to look at the confession of her faith, how it began, how it operated, how it showed itself, and even what was accomplished by the exercise of Rahab's faith. And the first thing we're noting is salvation, because Rahab, needs to be emphasized, she was saved by grace and through faith. There's no other way whereby a poor guilty sinner can be saved other than by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 and 10 as well would emphasize that. Titus 3 and verse 5, by his mercy he saved us. Now here's a pagan, she's living in spiritual blindness and darkness and idolatry. We're told as well that she was an innkeeper or a taverner. Joshua 2 and verse 15, she was also, as we are assured in the book of Hebrews, a harlot or a prostitute. So here was a woman, and her circumstances would not have been too amenable to God's salvation, yet the God of grace loved her, John 3 and 16, and he reached down to her in her position, Luke 7, 36 to 15, John 8, verse 3 to 11, another example of another woman in the same kind of situation, in sin before God, but he brings them out and changes them around by his grace. So faith was given, repentance was given, the gifts of God's grace to this woman Rahab, and therefore she came to saving faith. Salvation, first of all, saved by grace through faith. Then the introduction. How did Rahab's faith begin? It begins where all true faith does begin, in hearing God's word. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11. But you have the wonderful terms over in the book of Romans, the chapter 10, the verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What do we read about Rahab here? Well, in Joshua 2, 10 and 11, she says, we have heard. We have heard twice over, she says this. News had come in to those who were in Jericho and the surrounding area about the power of the God of Israel. They had heard what he was able to do. And also she's adding in Joshua 2 and 9, the words that I know. I know. What does faith do? This is the activity of faith. Faith listens to the word of God and it steps out upon what it hears in God's word. It takes God at his word. It relies upon what is spoken by him. It reckons by it, just as Abraham did, and his faith is spoken of in Romans 4, 20 and 21. And so with us, we hear the gospel. We learn by the proclamation of the word of God that we are under condemnation. John 3 and verse 18. Then by faith we are saved. And you'll remember as well in that classic incident that we read about, recorded about Philippi in Acts 16, 29 to 31, that jailer in Philippi, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we have heard, I know, her faith took God at his word and rested entirely upon what God had said and upon what God was able to do. So we have her salvation, the introduction, how it came about. It began by hearing the word of God. Then she made a confession of her faith. that we see in the chapter 2 of Joshua here, because she confessed her faith unto those spies. She is speaking to them when she says, I have heard and I know. I believe what I have heard. So she's not a secret believer. She makes a plain manifestation, declaration, confession of her faith. And we have here highlighted for us the difference between what is mere intellectual faith and true faith residing in the heart. It wasn't only Rahab who had heard the news of what the God of Israel had done. All of the people around, the whole land, in fact, if you look at the end of verse 24, and these two men who were spying out the territory, who were rescued by Rahab and sheltered by her, when they get back to the camp in Israel, what do they say? They say unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered us, hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the land do faint because of us. So all the inhabitants to faint under the sound of the power of God, under the threat of that power coming their way. They had heard all about it, but while many fainted, or even all fainted, there were only a few who had real heart faith. And that would have been Rahab and in turn her household. So while many had heard, few trusted. And that's the situation we find all around us today. Of course, we're reminded in Romans 10 and verse 9 that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's 17, moving to 9. Confession is made unto salvation, and we are believing with the heart, because that is the key instrument and the primary thing. After faith, there is confession. And that's what's happening here. Rahab had come to faith, and now when the spies arrive, she confesses her faith to them. Salvation, saved by grace through faith. Her faith began by hearing the word of God. Confession, she did that to the spies. And then demonstration, because the faith didn't live by itself. It was evidenced and accompanied by works. Demonstrated by works. Wherever you look in Scripture, you'll find that works are the evidence of the outworking of faith. Faith doesn't exist alone. Faith works. We have already mentioned Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. 8 and 9 talking about saved by grace through faith. And then in 10, ye are his workmanship, created through Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have this faith coming into our hearts, but then the obligation is upon us, the onus is there. Start walking for Christ, and let your faith show itself, be demonstrated in the way that you live. And in that text that we took at the beginning there, in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 31, we find her faith was beginning to work. And how did it work? She received the spies in peace. And you can tally that in with the likes of James 2 and 25, Ephesians 2 and 10 just mentioned, Philippians 3, 12 and 13, where we have faith that is real, and it's making itself visible, and it's moving forward on its legs. It is doing things, because faith generates activity. What did she do? Well, we find that she hid the spies. Joshua 2, verse 1, 4 and 6. She confessed to them. We've noted that in verse 9 through to 12. Then she sent the spies away in 2 and verse 16. These were all demonstrations of her faith, but of course there was a cardinal demonstration, a central one, and the greatest demonstration of faith she made was with the scarlet cord. And we're looking there at Joshua 2 in the verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the windom which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. That cord was the token. And she mentions a true token at the end of verse 12. It was the token that she believed the word of the spies. Because when Israel came and took the city that she lived in, and she's living up on the wall there. When they took the city of Jericho, we read the record in Joshua chapter 6, that what had she done? She had kept the instructions of the spies. She had launched out in faith upon the command and the covenant that was made back then. And there's the dangling scarlet cord, a symbol and expression, a demonstration of her faith. Just like way back in the book of Exodus chapter 12, God saying to the Israelites, you're to take a lamb for a house, kill the lamb, get the blood, put it in a basin, put it then around the doors, the doorposts, the lintel of your houses, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so that, we have another illustration of this kind of thing in the scarlet cord, going out the window, over the wall from the home where Rahab was living and where she and her family are now sheltering. The demonstration of her faith. So salvation, saved by grace through faith. Introduction, that faith began by the hearing of God's word. Confession, she expressed that faith to her, those spies that came to her home. A demonstration, it was evidence, the strength of her faith, the genuineness by her works. And of course there was transformation as well. Rahab's faith, it necessitated a radical change. Her whole life was transformed by faith in God. For her, it meant leaving that doomed city of Jericho. It meant being separated from her people who were caught up in idolatry in the city of Jericho and in the land of Canaan. It meant that she threw in her lot with God's people. We've got mirror image there, have we not, of, for example, Ruth traveling with Naomi in Ruth chapter 1. We have also an illustration of what John Bunyan logged on to in that great book, The Pilgrim's Progress, and how pilgrim he leaves the city of destruction. And even though his wife and his family are saying, this is a mad thing to do, we're not with you in the enterprise, this is so crazy, we've never heard the like of it, it's disastrous, suicidal, don't be doing it, the people laughed him to scorn, they couldn't accept, he would be so foolish. But he gets out from this idolatrous, they're the foolish people in the city of destruction, and he's making his way by God's grace and help to the celestial city as he is thrown in his lot, the way Rahab did with the people of God. And for her, everything became new. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he is a new creature, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9. Again, the newness of the relationship that we enter into by faith. There is transformation. We're looking for that in our city. We need that. We need it in our country as well. Absolutely all around the territories of our United Kingdom and way beyond that, where lives will be transformed. Everything will become new by the entrance of the grace of God that gives faith unto salvation. So we have that transformation, the radical change. Not only that, salvation, saved by grace through faith. Introduction, that began this faith by hearing God's word. Confession, she gave expression to her faith to the spies who called. Then demonstration, because faith didn't live alone. It was evidenced by the works that she did. There was transformation. Her life was radically changed. And there was extension as well. Extension. If you turn back to Joshua 2 and verse 12 and 13 there. Joshua 2 verse 12 and 13. Now therefore I pray you. She's pleading with these men, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. For those of us, and I'm sure that includes just about all of us, who have unsaved members within our family and within our friends, how about this for a prayer to take to the throne of God, that God would save alive, verse 13, our father and mother and brethren and sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. What a prayer. What a petition and a request Rahab filed back then. And it's just ready made for us to take and plead to God on his throne in heaven, Lord, not only me, but save my family, deliver them as well. We have Esther making this kind of supplication in Esther 8 and verse 6. We have Andrew reaching out to friends and family. He first findeth his own brother Simon Peter in John 1 verse 40 to 42. We have Philip hot on the heels of Andrew's evangelism, and he goes and he grabs hold of Nathanael in John 1 verse 43 to 49. We have the woman of Sychar, and she's back into the city. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so they're imbibing a concern. It's indwelling their hearts, captivating their minds. We want to see others, our friends, our family, saved as well. And don't we? So we have plenty of evangelistic targets, not far from home. They'd be in our own houses, beyond our doorstep, certainly within our own family. People that need the Lord. And what a prayer we have here, and an example in the way that Rahab had this burning concern for her own family. Save them too. So we have that extension. Salvation, saved by grace through faith. Introduction, it began by the word of God entering into her mind and into her heart. Confession, she expressed that faith of hers publicly. We have demonstration, because it was accompanied by the vital thing, works. Transformation, her life showed that it was radically altered. And then that faith reaches out with its elastic arms and wants to embrace her family and friends. And the final thought, recognition here. Recognition. Her faith brought her into a place of huge honor and influence. And so we find her name. It makes it right over into Hebrews chapter 11, when most people could have, should have, possibly forgotten all about her. Her name pops up again, and it did, as we mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because she became the mother of Boaz, therefore the great-grandfather Boaz was of David the king. And we read about that relationship, the family tree, we find in Ruth chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. We find again the extended family tree in Matthew 1, verse 5 and 6, and the verse 16. We read about what happened in her life here in Joshua 6, 21 to 25. And again, we lift her up as an illustration of the truth of God's promise. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And may God do again what he did here, pick up a scarlet sinner and save him and save her by his mighty grace, and implant his faith within their hearts.